You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Tom Michael, filling in for Gemma Gaudette. Here's a scenario you may have found yourself in recently. You open up Facebook or Twitter, and someone you know is posting about a conspiracy theory. You wonder, do I say something? Is there any convincing them otherwise? The Mountain West News Bureau's Maggie Mullen went in search of some advice.
For Jenny Fournier, it's her aunt.
So she got sort of really into the QAnon piece, and she would call my mom like at the beginning of this COVID stuff and say, it's okay, none of it's real, I don't even want you to panic.
Fournier lives in Cheyenne, Wyoming. She says when her aunt brings things up like this, she usually ends up diverting the conversation. But still, she worries.
It's gotten to the point where I think she's actually making life decisions based on it.
Most of us probably know what QAnon is by now, but just in case, here's Joe Uzinski. He's a political science professor at the University of Miami, and he studies conspiracy theories. He says QAnon started with a person who claimed in an anonymous chat room they were
helping Trump battle the deep state, which is comprised supposedly of satanic sex trafficking pedophiles and baby eaters.
Uzinski says conspiracy theories aren't a new phenomenon. But he says what makes QAnon different is that it doesn't focus on one event in the past. It's more of a worldview. This can lead to some very deeply entrenched views, like the ones Jenny Fournier deals with her aunt.
If you remember that tsunami that happened in Japan? The whole premise for her is that these people, they know about climate change. So she thinks that they like use satellites and like vibrations to the center of the earth to cause that tsunami to like get rid of a mass amount of people.
This summer, I found myself dealing with a conspiracy theorist. I noticed a friend on Facebook posting about the pandemic, calling it a hoax. So I turned to Google, and when I searched for how to talk to a conspiracy theorist, I came upon Tani Basu's reporting.
You're not the first person to tell me that you look to the piece for guidance.
Basu is a senior reporter for MIT Technology Review. For her story published back in July, she turned to the experts that study conspiracy theories. She also spent some time with one online group.
It's a subreddit community that challenge each other to, you know, change their view on the topic or propose a thought that they might be grappling with and ask members of the subreddit community to convince them one way or the other.
Essentially, what she learned from all her digging was, above all, be respectful in these conversations, which might seem obvious.
But I do think it's one of those things that we need a reminder of, especially on the internet, because you can hide behind an avatar.
Basu also found that having a one-on-one conversation privately instead of somewhere public, like on a comment thread, was a better approach. Plus, you have to find some common ground. For instance, Basu says there's often some truth or small fact to most conspiracy theories.
It's finding that little part of that little truth that you guys can agree on.
Basu also recommends asking questions, which may not change someone's mind right then and there, but
being felt heard is so important, and it can be the first and probably the most major step in changing a mind.
So I thought I'd give these tools a try for myself. I reached out to another conspiracy-believing friend of mine, Hannah. She'd previously told me she believed in at least one.
I found the 9/11 conspiracy theory really compelling.
I asked her if she'd be willing to talk to me about this on tape. She said yes, as long as we didn't use her last name. I agreed, and we set up a date for an interview. But then something interesting happened. She mentioned to some other friends that she'd be talking to a reporter for a story about people that believe in conspiracy theories.
I was talking to my friends at the skate park, and one of my friends, they were very kind. I told them about drinking the Kool-Aid.
That Kool-Aid was a movie she watched that convinced her of various 9/11 conspiracy theories. She says one of those friends, very politely and in private, asked her some follow-up questions. She encouraged her to do a little bit more research and even suggested some possible sources. So when Hannah got home,
I Googled it and quickly was like, oh, wow, this is like really not credible.
How this all played out pretty much lines up with what Tani Basu told me. Be kind, speak in private, ask questions, and point folks in the right direction so they can figure it out for themselves. Of course, Basu also says you have to know when to pick your battles. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Maggie Mullen.
And Maggie's joining us now to talk more about her reporting on this story. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom.
So conspiracy theories, they're not new in American culture. We're thinking back to the JFK assassination, UFOs at Area 51, a faked moon landing, just a couple of examples. Why do you feel Americans love conspiracy theories so much?
Right. So, and you know, it's not just Americans. It's really a kind of human thing. I'm thinking of, you know, there's a stressful or disruptive event that leads people to seek tangible explanations, oftentimes for, you know, the invisible or for things that they can't explain or that they don't understand. And Joe Yuzinski, you hear him in the piece, he spoke to me about, you know, the kinds of feelings that can lead to conspiratorial thoughts. Of course, they include anxiety, alienation, paranoia, and, you know, feeling like you have a loss of control. And, you know, those are feelings that a lot of us, of course, have felt in the pandemic, but not all of us have become conspiracy theorists. And that's where the ideological part comes in, right? Or the sort of confirmation bias. So if you come across a conspiracy theory that really resonates with you or taps into some fears or maybe some assumptions that you have about the world, you're much more likely to believe it. So essentially, you know, coming across something that confirms to you, okay, what I suspect or what I believe about the world is true.
So that confirmation bias makes us susceptible. Well, let's talk about methodology. You know, in previous generations, conspiracy theories, you know, social media wasn't a thing. We've all received those all cap emails, or going further back, there was just this rich marketplace in books or articles about the assassination of JFK. But now social media, is there something substantively different about the way it travels today?
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of, there's two parts to this, right? You know, like you mentioned, the JFK assassination, the conspiracies around that explained one event or one day in history. Whereas QAnon specifically, you know, it explains the past, it explains the present, and it even predicts the future. So really, it's much more cult-like, I think, and it's really a worldview, and it leads to, oftentimes, that becomes an identity for people. And as far as how it travels, you know, social media has played a huge role in that. And I'll be really curious to see, you know, now that Facebook and Twitter say that they'll be filtering that content out, how effective that is, because, you know, these groups or these pages, as they're called on Facebook, you know, they play a critical role in spreading QAnon's messages to a broader audience, because you have these powerful algorithms that are working in the favor of these theories. I'm thinking of, you know, the way recommendations work on Facebook. Say you join an anti-vaccine group or an anti-lockdown group or even a pro-Trump group, and then Facebook recommends a QAnon group, and it becomes this self-sustaining recruitment tool. There doesn't have to be as much footwork because the algorithm really does it itself. And there's even data that backs this up. It was, you know, back in 2016 that Facebook's own internal research found that 64% of all extremist group joins were due to these recommendation tools.
We're talking to Mountain West News reporter Maggie Mullen. So Maggie, like you said, it's not just nowadays the guy at the end of the bar spouting a conspiracy theory or someone in town holding a sign. These people are connected, and even people who may not be the type of person are recommended this. Facebook and Twitter recently trying to shut a QAnon down. But let's talk about a toolkit for people who might have a friend or family member who's gotten involved with a conspiracy theory. We heard some of the tips in your story. What stood out for you?
Yeah, and you know, like I said in the feature, I really got into this because I found myself in that position. And I think that's why it was such interesting and fulfilling reporting for me. Like I mentioned, be kind, which seems kind of obvious, but you know, you get in that situation and your defenses go up. But also talking in private, you know, so much of the time when you see someone, it's online and it's in a public space. So really speaking privately. But one that I didn't really get too much into in the story was, you know, this thing about asking questions. In other words, you know, using the Socratic method. So using questions to help others really poke holes in their own argument and then see if it still stands up. So it's
so
about
asking
empowering that
asking
person.
Why you believe in that and why do you think that happened and what makes you think that happened? Really just asking those questions and being a part of the conversation?
Yeah, I mean, with a critical lens, you know, as we do as journalists, so a real back and forth until that person kind of comes to a dead end, which of course requires the things that we talked about, talking in private, you know, talking with respect, so that they can kind of figure it out on their own.
So it was really interesting to hear about your relationship with your friend Hannah, and I imagine maybe you had conversations like this in the past. Have you ever talked a friend out of a conspiracy theory?
This is so interesting, the timing of this, because, you know, I did this story, and then just this weekend, I was included in this group text to join this book club with four or five other women, and people were sort of discussing what might be a good book, and one of the members, you know, mentioned, hey, I've kind of become interested in learning more about vaccines, and she said both sides, so I thought, oh, man. Oh, this is actually a good opportunity. I'm going to text her privately, point her in the direction of some peer-reviewed, legitimate sources, talk to her a little bit about, you know, where anti-vaccination rhetoric came from. And so I think that was one of those instances where maybe I got in earlier. You know, she's not entrenched in it quite yet. So as far as, you know, being able to put these tools to use, it's already come in handy already.
Oh, that's great. So that really had an effect.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the timing of this piece will also be sort of helpful. I know that the holidays will probably look a lot different for a lot of us. Many of us probably won't be gathered around the table, but I do think this time of year is often when we encounter maybe those family members that we only see around the holidays and maybe don't share the same beliefs as us, and maybe they even hold some conspiracy theories. So I hope that this is helpful to your listeners.
Oh, that's a great point about the holidays. I had a porch visit with neighbors this weekend who talked about family members who we'll see over Thanksgiving, Christmas, or talk to. And they defended conspiracy theories, saying they believed part of it was true, or maybe it was true. And I realized the election, the pandemic, people are stressed. And as you said, they're looking for, you know, kind of worldviews to hang on to.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, one of the pointers I gave to that friend of mine that was, you know, just starting to wade into the anti-vaccination waters is to really look at your sources. If it's something that you saw on social media, be especially skeptical, because that's where these conspiracy theories proliferate.
And then QAnon is different, Maggie. As you said at the top, it's not just one incident or one event. It's this morphine-changing platform almost that could go in different directions. Does that make it harder for Facebook, Twitter, and you know, fact checkers to stamp out?
I think so. There's actually been some research done by a professor. She's a Harvard professor. Her name is Nancy Rosenblum, and she studies ethics and politics and government. And her research is really interesting because what she says is that QAnon is a conspiracy theory without a theory, right? So I feel like oftentimes people are wondering, okay, what is QAnon? They understand where it got its start, that it's on social media, that it's related to this belief that there is a deep state, but so much of QAnon is really vague and really sort of slippery. So I do imagine that it will be hard, you know, for folks at Facebook, folks at Instagram or Twitter, you know, when it comes down to it, when they see a meme or they see content, you know, having to look through that and that figure out whether or not, you know, that counts as a conspiracy theory. It reminds me of, you know, the pornography debate. You know it when you see it. So I think it'll be a challenge for them to identify where that line in the sand is.
Well, as I mentioned, message your team, a really great story. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate it.
We've been talking to Mountain West News Bureau reporter Maggie Mullen. The Mountain West News Bureau is a regional collaboration launched right here and includes Wyoming Public Media, KUNR in Nevada, KUNC in Colorado, KUNM in New Mexico, and the O'Connor Center for the Rocky Mountain West in Montana. You can find out more of Maggie's reporting at our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. I'm Tom Michael, and this is Idaho Matters.